So the reading today is Matthew chapter 17. If you'd like to follow it in the church Bibles, it's on page 984. And we're reading verses 1 to 6, 1 to 9 even, of chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Nick. Morning, everybody. Great to see everybody here this morning. I'm going to go off-piste from the beginning. You can see I've put together a few slides, some pictures for us to see as I speak. And basically, as we look at this passage in the Bible, the Transfiguration, where Jesus goes up onto the mountain with some of his disciples and he begins to shine white and glow. And it's just intriguing, maybe a bit confusing. My basic point that I'm going to make today is, as you can see on the side, that we're invited to get a greater view of Jesus. I therefore think it's slightly ironic that I couldn't size my slides correctly such that you can't even see the whole of the word Jesus. But I come with my weakness and my frailty and offer what God's been speaking to me, I believe, for us. So as I begin then, I want to ask you a question. I wonder what the most amazing view you've ever seen is. What's the most amazing view that you have ever seen? Maybe it's been a sunset. Maybe a long stretch of beach. Maybe the birth of a child and that new life. When we think about a view we've seen, we might think of creation, but we might think of other things too. Maybe if you're a walker, your amazing view has been from the top of a mountain. The most amazing view I've seen was indeed from a mountaintop. I've been fortunate to do a fair amount of travel in my life, and I was in Sri Lanka visiting a friend, and we both climbed Adam's Peak, their highest mountain. What happens is, what you're encouraged to do is to go up in the dark and be there for sunrise. And I was fortunate to do this to get ready for the break of dawn on Easter Sunday morning, 1999. It's a relatively tough climb. I felt I'd achieved something. And the sunrise was indeed a good one. But that isn't the most amazing view I have ever seen. The most amazing view that I've personally ever seen was on that mountaintop. And what happened as the sun rose and we looked ahead, there was a shadow of the peak we were standing on projected into the clouds. Yeah, gosh, it's quite incredible. It wasn't really even something I'd conceived as being possible. It was just amazing, a completely new view to me. A new view. You can see where I'm going with this. We're continuing in a sermon series here at St. Mary's, which we've entitled Heaven Touching Earth. And so in this week three, we come to the Transfiguration. As I've said, it's an amazing passage. It's quite intriguing. What we've heard, as Nick read from the Bible in Matthew's Gospel, is that Jesus goes up a mountain, taking with him Peter, James, and John. And what happens when they're up there is Jesus becomes shining white. You know, this is the Daz advert on steroids. This is beyond. He is transfigured. Well, as I prepared, I read this quote this week. There's a danger that our view of Jesus, our insight into who he is, becomes static. Now, everybody's welcome here, and it is great that we're all on a journey working out who Jesus is. It may be that for some, your view of Jesus is something you had at Sunday school. It may be you're here today and you've never really even considered who Jesus is. It may be you're here today and you've been walking with Jesus for 66 years. Jenny shared her testimony at Family at Four last week of meeting Jesus and being his friend and following him and knowing him as helper for 66 years. But whatever stage we're at, there's obviously always this danger that how we view Jesus is how we view Jesus, and it stops at that point. So as we look at this transfiguration today, my overriding message, what I felt God saying to us, that as heaven touches earth, we can get a bigger, a greater, an enhanced view of who Jesus is. And when we gather together here on a Sunday and look in the Bible, we are opening God's word and we believe he speaks to us. And as he does, I pray that God will show each of us a greater view of who Jesus is, especially if there are any of us where our view of Jesus has got a bit stuck, maybe has become static, because God can shift that. So let's pray that now. I'm going to pray. Lord God, we pray that you speak to us through your word. Would you show us more of Jesus? Amen. So, how is it then in this passage, the Transfiguration, that we might get a greater view of who Jesus is? Firstly then, I chose the word confirmation. In the middle of our passage, we hear of heaven touching earth in that there is a voice. A number of people were here last week. If you weren't, it doesn't matter. But last week, we did heaven touching earth by looking at Jesus' baptism. And in Jesus' baptism, a voice comes from heaven. Here in the Transfiguration, a cloud descends onto the top of the mountain. God is in that cloud. That's very much seen in the Old Testament of God being in a cloud. And there's a voice. And this voice, God's voice, confirms a key truth of who Jesus is. God says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Exactly the same phrase that God spoke at Jesus' baptism. Now, at Jesus' baptism, that was just as Jesus was about to start his ministry. But now the same phrase is spoken not long before Jesus goes to the cross. "This is my Son." This confirms that Jesus is the Son of God, which is a foundational belief of the Christian faith. Jesus is God. He's loved by God, and God is pleased with him. Here at St. Mary's, with my instigation, I suppose, we regularly come back to this question that you'll see in Matthew's Gospel a bit before this passage. It's when Jesus talks to his disciples and he says to them, "Who do people say I am?" And they give some ideas. And then he looks at them all and he says, "But what about you? Who do you say I am? Who do I say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? I believe that this one question is a question that absolutely everybody will have to answer, either to answer here on earth or answer immediately after your death. And when we say Jesus is the Son of God, when we acknowledge he died for us and thank him for that, and when we say, I'm all in, Jesus, my life is for you, that statement starts that prayer, starts the most joyous, purposeful, and wonderful adventure for life. In the Transfiguration, heaven touches earth, and it gives us a greater view of who Jesus is. It invites us today to confirm for ourselves who he is. And a bit after I've spoken, we're going to do something called the Creed, a declaration of faith. We're all going to be invited to say it. But it'll be a great day for anybody who decides to say it with true belief for the first time, becoming a Christian, becoming a follower of Jesus. And if that's you today, do let us know, because we'd love to rejoice with you. So that's confirmation of who Jesus is. And then we get identification, because something really strange happens up that top of the mountain. Jesus is joined by two people, two names you may have heard of, you may know well, you may never have heard of. It doesn't matter. I'm going to have a look at it now. Jesus is joined by Moses and Elijah. And in this, we see more of who Jesus is. It identifies who he is. So Moses and Elijah are two of the most important figures from the Old Testament. Okay, but how do they enhance our view of Jesus? Well, let's look at Moses first. Moses was the one who went up onto the mountain and was given those tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments on. Moses was the one in the Bible who was given the law. God spoke the law to Moses that was given to the people so they would know how to live their lives. Moses appears on that mountain with Jesus. Moses was given the law to pass on, but Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. It's also interesting that Moses is often referred to as a messianic model. He was like a messiah. But Jesus is the messiah, the savior. The presence of Moses and who he was enhances our view of who Jesus is, the greatest one, the one who there's no one like. And then we get Elijah. Elijah was probably the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Though if you want to debate that, I'd love to do that over coffee. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the prophets and all the prophecies. In Alpha this week, we're doing Alpha. This is a course to explore who Jesus is and what the Christian faith is all about. We were in week two on Tuesday night. And week two is this basic question: who is Jesus? And in the video that we watched, it outlined that Jesus fulfills over ... prophecies. Oh, I wonder what that number is. What do you reckon? 100? 200? Over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament are fulfilled in the person Jesus, who is also God. Elijah appears on that mountain with him, Elijah the prophet, enhancing our view of Jesus, because Jesus is the greatest of all prophets. He's not just a prophet, and he fulfilled all those prophecies. Another thing about Elijah was one of Elijah's roles as a prophet was to bring people back to the Lord, to bring people back to God. And of course, the only one who can really bring us back to God is Jesus. Because of his death on the cross, that we can be forgiven, Jesus is the only one who can restore us in our relationship with God. Also, The thing about Elijah was that the Jews, and therefore Jesus' followers, Peter, James, and John, who were up the mountain with him, would know that the Bible talks about Elijah being the forerunner of the Messiah. So once they saw Elijah come back, they would know that the Messiah was coming. Let me read you this from the prophet Malachi. A friend of mine likes to call him the prophet Malarkey, but it is Malachi, I understand. Malachi 4, verses 4 and 6, refers to both Moses and Elijah, but particularly listen to the Elijah bit second. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel? See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Elijah was the forerunner of the Messiah, the forerunner of Jesus. Heaven touches earth in the transfiguration and gives us this greater view of Jesus. He is the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. In fact, Jesus says that of himself in Matthew 5. I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus is the Messiah, the one that was waited for and expected, the one who is the Saviour and can save us and bring salvation when we put trust in him. Finally then, this bigger view of Jesus, I chose the word expansion. We're doing this series so that we can expand our view of who Jesus is. It says in verse 2 of our reading, he was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. No wonder Peter, James, and John fell down on their faces in front of him. What a vision this must have been. What a vision of white and light and purity and holiness Jesus was. Peter, James, and John had been hanging out with him. They'd seen him teach. They'd seen him do miracles. But now they were getting such a different view of who he was. Mark has helpfully outlined a dictionary definition of transfigured at the beginning. But the Greek word found in the original text of the Bible is metamorpheo. Metamorpheo. I see some recognition there, because that's where we get our word metamorphosis from. Metamorphosis. Jesus was changed before their very eyes. Jesus' essential form became different. Many scholars state that Peter, James, and John saw Jesus in his post-resurrection body. This view of Jesus we can have now, that he is the one that rose from the dead, has conquered death, and gives us life forever. If we look in Revelation, Revelation's the last book of the Bible, and there John is given a vision of what everything will be like in the future. So there's this vision of Jesus in heaven. I'm going to read it to you, but see if you think it sounds anything like the Transfiguration. I'm in Revelation 1, verses 12 to 14. So John is taken up to heaven, a door is open, and he sees into heaven. And John writes this, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned and I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing like fire. Hair like wool, white as snow, and eyes blazing like fire. I don't think that's just echoes of the Transfiguration. I think there's a great overlap there. Wow. Peter, James, and John on the top of that mountain got a new view of Jesus, an amazing insight, a foretaste that this man they were getting to know would rise from the dead and then sit enthroned in glory in heaven. No wonder Jesus says to them, "Don't say anything about this until I have risen from the dead." They had seen a glimpse of the resurrected Jesus. They saw Jesus in his glory. Well, that's the view of Jesus enhanced that we are given. But what about us? My notes here and some of the bits I'm going to say had two words, decision and instruction. Decision. I've already spoken about this. The Transfiguration shows us who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Messiah, seated on the throne. We're each to decide who we say Jesus is. And then there's instruction. God's voice in that cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Exactly the same phrase at the baptism of Jesus. But here, in the Transfiguration, the voice from the cloud says an extra bit. "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." God's telling Peter, James, and John, going on to tell us, listen to Jesus. Heaven touches earth and brings an invitation to listen to Jesus. How do we listen to Jesus? Well, we've got the Bible, God's word. We can sit before Jesus in prayer. I confess I fill my prayer time with too many words and need to have more silence that I might listen to Jesus more. Being open to the Holy Spirit that we might know a bigger view of Jesus. But as I got up this morning and as I've spent time here this morning, I felt God give two other words, and don't worry, I won't be very long. And those words were intention and prospects. And all I could see was a very nervous young man before his girlfriend's father. Now, Paul and I got married later in life, and my dad was in a nursing home. Paul did go and see him to talk to him, but, you know, I don't think my dad gave him a grilling, which I'm pleased about. But, you know, that couple, you know, that old-fashioned word when they were courting, you know, and the father of the woman, possibly, you know, "Okay, young man, what are your intentions? What are your intentions?" But also within that conversation, there was an element possibly asked by the mother of the bride, "And what are your prospects, young man?" Ruth's laughing. "What sort of job? What sort of earning power?" Oh, strange conversations, really. Hope they were just really looking whether they were a person of kindness and great character who knew Jesus. But you know what? Our prospects are amazing. When we see Jesus and when we know him, we know that we are offered life in its fullness and life forever with him. Our prospects are incredible. And I felt that the Lord was saying, "So what's your intention? It's great to come to St. Mary's. It's great to worship together. It's a wonderful fellowship, and it's great to see everybody here this morning. But what's our intention?" I certainly would love to get a bigger view of who Jesus is. It can be easy to get a bit stuck. And my prayer for myself, and it may be your prayer too, that our view of Jesus is not static. It doesn't stay where it was with the people we were when we walked in here this morning, but that our view of Jesus might expand, that for each of us, heaven touches earth, and we might see more of who Jesus is. Lord Jesus, show more of yourself to us, we pray. In your holy, precious, and powerful name. Amen.